Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Roberta Hollander, and I'm representing the Public Health Education Health Promotion section today. And this session is organized by one of the arms of our section, which is the Working Group of Health Communication. So let me put in a plug for our section first, if I may. We're the largest section, and I think we're the most welcoming section, so we're considered very friendly. So please come on by to any of our meetings. Unfortunately, we missed our two socials, one that Communications puts on and one that we put on, but next year keep us in mind on Sunday night and Monday nights. We also organize a tremendous number of sessions, and this is one. We have a business meeting this evening, 6:30 to 8, and you're all welcome, and we can guarantee you that if you have any interest in getting more involved, we will do that, help you with that. So having said that, let's get right to the business of today's session. It's Promising Interventions Using Social Media, and we have five speakers today, and we'll try to keep on time with them. I have ways of doing that which are not to be said out loud. So in any event, you'll see them move off the stage pretty quickly. What we'll do is keep our questions until the end, if you would, to make sure that everybody gets an appropriate amount of time to speak. With that having been said, each speaker will introduce himself or herself rather than my telling you or reading their bios to you. So they'll give you a few sentences about themselves and the work that they do, and then give their presentation. So again, welcome to all of you, and thank you very much for coming today.
Hi, thank you, guys. I'm Kathleen Ragsdale, and I have just turned my timer on. I'm so proud of myself. I forgot to do it at the last session. So I'm some of the people that were in my last session, I just gave a presentation, and I told them because of the weather change, I have gotten a scratchy voice, but I'm calling it sultry voice. So I've done research in Africa, Latin America, the Caribbean, and the U.S. This project is concentrating on social media and the eBaby project, or ebabyforyou.com. And what we're looking at is trying to improve infant feeding outcomes among African American and other minority teen mothers. And I want to thank the USDA NEFA for funding the project, which has been a real learning experience for me because I'm actually a late adopter in terms of technology, but I've been kind of pushed into this by way of just happenstance, I think. So I have no relationships to disclose, and just to get right down to it, so resource-limited African-American teen mothers face increased barriers to optimizing infant feeding outcomes. And this is a cause for concern because what we know is that racial and ethnic disparities in childhood obesity may be determined by factors that operate early in life. So, you know, the evidence is kind of still out on that, but they think there's strong evidence that that might be the case. And so what they're looking at is trying to determine what are the things that can help infants not become obese children later on, because as you guys know, the United States is having an epidemic of obesity and overweight among children. So some of the things that we know that have been negatively associated with teen pregnancy are low birth weight infants, non-breastfeeding or very limited breastfeeding, low infant nutrition knowledge, and missed time introduction of solid foods. So what we wanted to do with the eBaby project was really to look at that and see how we could kind of use social media to do outreach for teen mothers. And there are actually very few e-health programs for new mothers, regardless of age, ethnicity. Most of those are actually primarily targeting mothers who are older and more educated. And the two of which I know about are Just-in-Time Parenting and Text for Baby. If you have other programs that you know about, I know things are emerging, so please let me know, because I want to know all that stuff. And it's very hard to keep up with all the information, right? So what we know is that there is a large technology gap for outreach for teen mothers, and especially for minority and African-American teen mothers. And our project was driven by three research questions. They were, excuse me, how do we harness social media to make it relevant to minority teen mothers?
How do we harness social media so that we have outreach to minority teen mothers? How do we make it relevant for the minority teen mothers? And how do we make it accessible for them? So these were kind of the three things that were kind of driving the eBaby for You project. So what we found was that what we wanted to do was actually we took the USDA NEPA program, Just-in-Time Parenting, which is delivered to parents either through flyers that are hard copies, or they can get them through email. They can be downloaded. This Just-in-Time Parenting is really a little bit more targeted toward older parents and parents who are more educated. Any of you guys that work with teens know that what would teens do if they got this on their cell phone? Like, right? Out of here. Bounce rate. So what we wanted to do was actually take this really good existing information, this scientifically based information that's already out there. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, but so we're adapting this to the eBaby for You. And so that's what we did with all of this stuff. And so we want to take the Just-in-Time Parenting content, improve its cultural relevance for minority teen mothers. We wanted to do this through producing the eBaby logo, videos, and the website content. And a really important part of this was pilot testing with all our materials with the eBaby Community Advisory Board. The eBaby Community Advisory Board was composed of teen and young mothers, so minority teen young mothers who were between the ages of 16 and 20. We also chose first-time mothers because we really wanted to capture that audience of moms who are now new mothers for the first time. And so all of our materials were pilot tested and got their okay. And this was a really funny thing because, you know, one of the things that I thought would be so cute was, like, let's have dancing vegetables in one part of the prenatal nutrition video. And they were all like, this stupid. So, you know, we had to ditch the dancing vegetables and go with what they liked. And that was they wanted a young woman who's African American doing the talking. So that's what we had. So then after we had everything vetted by the eBaby Community Advisory Board, we then launched the website and the YouTube channel. So our videos include prenatal nutrition, and this is the one where I thought we could have dancing vegetables and they said no. And Day in the Life of a Teen Mom, we actually had a young woman, her name is Lexis, she gave us permission to use her name. So Lexis is a teen mother, she's also a student athlete, high school student athlete, very, very good honors roll student, and a teen mother, right? So she's always been a very, very busy woman, and she also breastfeeds, and is extremely committed to breastfeeding. So we filmed her for a day, just what it's like to be a teen mom who's in school, who's doing well, who's a student athlete, who's breastfeeding. And we've gotten really great feedback from that video. We did a breastfeeding myth video because any of you who work with teens and adolescents, you know that teens are really conscious about their bodies. And, you know, one of the myths out there with breastfeeding is it's going to make your boobs sag, right? And so, you know, girls are like, oh, I don't want that to happen, so I'm not going to do this. So what we explain is that it's really not about the breastfeeding, it's that the weight that you gain when you're pregnant, right? So you need to kind of watch that and make sure that that's what's going on. So we're trying to give teens information that they don't have, that they're not even thinking about. So the other two were breastfeeding part one and part two. So for each of these videos, we actually had, Lexis was agreed to be our model, and her son was our baby model. And we had her in a little camisole, and then she was holding the baby in all the different ways that you need to hold a baby to figure out what's the best way for you and your baby to breastfeed, because every mother, every child's different, right? So we want to give them lots of options so that they can, you know, really think about, okay, oh, I can do this. This might be possible. At the same time, we want to be really aware that our audience is teen mothers. We are not going to push breastfeeding down their throat, because what happens when you do that? You get pushback. They're not going to breastfeed. Right, because, you know, and this is actually a very hard sell audience on breastfeeding. So what we want to do is just give them tools to let them feel empowered to do that, if that's what they chose to do. So we also did a bottle feeding myth, and what we thought that was really important because if the girls decide not to breastfeed, they're going to be formula feeding. So if they're formula feeding, we want to make sure that they're doing it right. We want to make sure that the bottles are being cleaned properly so that the babies don't get sick from that. That when they make the formula, they're using the right portions.
so that the babies are not either being overfed or underfed, especially with sometimes with low-income mothers. They try to cut the formula to make it last longer, right? So we don't want them to do that. We want to make sure that they're using the formula as they're supposed to and that they're washing and sterilizing the bottles the way that they are supposed to. So we put that into one of our videos. The final video that had to do with feeding was introducing your baby to solid foods. Of course, this is a very critical period. And it also, again, it depends on the baby. Some babies want to start eating solid food earlier. So we're just trying to help young mothers to know when to go ahead and start feeding their babies the different kinds of solid foods that they can. And these last two, sleep for you and your baby, and my baby is stressing me out. All of the videos, the topics were vetted by our eBaby Community Advisory Board of Teen and Young Mothers, and especially they wanted us to add these two about sleep and then about how to kind of decompress from a day in the life of your baby, right? So for the sleep, again, if you're working with adolescents, you know that sleep is really, really important for the adolescent brain, right? And yet, if at the same time, you're a new mother, you're not getting enough sleep. So how do you make sure that you and your baby are both getting the kind of sleep that you need and kind of how to decompress after a day to get the baby to go to sleep so that you can sleep? So the final thing is my baby is stressing me out, and because adolescent mothers have so much pressure on them to do so many things, and they're also new mothers, so they're trying to figure this stuff out. So we wanted to do some videos that really talked about how you can, count to 10 when you're upset with your baby, or, you know, do something to take a little time out and have your baby be taken care of by someone that you trust and that the baby likes. And then you can just kind of take a little time out to maybe paint your fingernails or something. Or how to keep a journal so that can, you know, help you kind of deal with the stressful situations in your life. Just giving them a couple of tools that can help them do a better about kind of decompressing. So I'm not even going to try to play the video because I'm sure it doesn't work, but this is our prenatal video, and this is, again, all of our videos were pilot tested with the community advisory board and given their okay, and we had to, you know, get everything approved. So we wrote the scripts. We had the scripts approved by the community advisory board. Then we got the talent, and then we did the video shoot, and then we had the video kind of vetted by the community advisory board, and also we had our just-in-time parenting board, and they also vetted the video. So everybody really cared about the music, which is something that you wouldn't think about, but people really cared about the music, and so that was very important, you know, to try to get something that was fun and lively but not annoying, and it was, you know, interesting because some of the music that the teen mothers really liked, the just-in-time parenting advisory board didn't like at all, but, you know, we had to go with what the teen moms wanted. So that's a screenshot of the prenatal nutrition video with Brittany, our talent. This is a screenshot of the website, and you can see the icon up at the top, so we made it, you know, compatible for computers and also compatible for cell phones. And that's very important to have it used across multiple platforms. So this is a screenshot of how the site looks on a cell phone, on a smartphone. And then our implications for this, we feel that what was really important about this project is that we made it useful across multiple platforms. And that's very important because any of you who have teenagers know 95% of teens are online, and teens are online day and night. And now especially it's important because teens are actually able to use their smartphones all the time now, and about 50% of teens have smartphones, and that does not vary based on household socioeconomic status. So about 50% of teens have smartphones regardless of whether they're from high-income households or low-income households. And even though it sounds unbelievable in the days of the iPhone 6, you can get a smartphone now for about $50. And
people are getting these smartphones. So that was really important for us to really make this accessible to the teens all across the board. I've got 2 minutes and 45 seconds. So we want to culturally tailor our projects for its target population, and we think that that's something that should be done for all social media. We want to make sure that it's dynamic and sustainable over time, and that's because fresh content is really important to keep driving people to your site and to keep down the bounce rate. And bounce rate is when somebody clicks onto your site and goes, uh-uh, I'm out of here, and bounces right off again. We also want to make it easily disseminated across multiple platforms, so it needs to be able to use it on a PC as well as a smartphone. And we want to evaluate it using tools like Google Analytics, Bitly, and Facebook Insights. Of course, though, no, teens say they don't use Facebook anymore, so we don't know what the next big thing coming out that they're going to be into, but you have to kind of always try to stay ahead of the game even when you can't. So thank you guys very much. I have 1 minute for one question if anybody wants to ask me something. Yes. Yeah, the audience is African-American teen mothers, and we have the videos are all posted on YouTube, so we have 9 videos posted on YouTube. We also have the website, and we're actually, my next project, I'm trying to get funding through NIH for sustainability, because a lot of your programs, as some of you who know who are doing this kind of thing, you have the money to implement it, but then you don't have the money for sustainability. So we're trying to go after that right now. And we have to talk about it after, because my time is up. So we'll talk about it later. Thank you, guys. Okay.